Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Chronicles. Book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 4. And you help by praying for us this morning that the Lord would help us. I learned yesterday I was headed to graduation over at Victory, and about halfway over I had a phone call, and it was Brother Logan, which is Brother Benny Carper's son, and he was letting me know that Preacher Benny had a motorcycle accident on the way to the graduation, so I didn't know what was going to run into when we got over there. I was thinking about something, praying about something. I said, well, maybe I'll end up needing to preach, and what I was thinking about. And so I did, and Brother Toll preached, but let's really remember Brother Benny in our prayers. He got dizzy, best I understand, and since then he's been dizzy and passing out, and so he's in the hospital trying to figure out what's wrong with him. But let's really remember him. You know, that could be anything. I'm not a doctor, I don't know, but certainly needs our prayers. So it wasn't that he wrecked by negligence or something like that, but he evidently passed out while he was on the motorcycle. I run into a creek and was dreaming that there was water in his helmet, and he woke up and his helmet was filling up with water where he was laying in the creek. So he could have died easily. And so the Lord spared him, so we're thankful for that. But let's remember him as he's in the hospital. He had a meeting today and, of course, canceled that. But I know they would appreciate our prayers. And I know Logan has called me and talked to me. And let's pray for them in our prayers as well. That's his son and then his wife, Judy. But 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. We're going to start reading at verse number 21 and read down through verse number 23. I'm going to try to read these verses. There's some names in here I'm just not sure of, so I'm just going to make a stab at it. But 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 and verse number 21, the Bible said, the sons of Shelah, the son of Judah, were the father of Lekah, and Leda, the father of Marisha, and the families of the house of them that wrought fine linen of the house of Ashbi, and Jochim, and the men of Chozbah, and Joash, and Saraph, who had the dominion in Moab, and Joshabai Liam. And these are ancient things. These were the potters, and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. I want to thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, I pray for your help today. I pray that you would make it real easy to preach thy Word. I pray that you would encourage your people today as we think about the work that you have given unto us. We think about a lot going on in the month of June, the month of July. We have Vacation Bible School. We have music camps. We have Collegians for Christ coming up in the fall. Lots of things going on, Lord, in our church, Lord, in our families. There's always something to do that needs to be done. Lord, there's a work to do. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. I pray you would speak to our hearts. I pray you'd help us as a church. I pray for these many objects that have been mentioned already today, those with health concerns, those that have had loved ones that have passed away. Lord, we pray for them. But we especially pray for those that are lost, as we realize they are in the most dangerous place to be living in this life without the Lord Jesus Christ, without salvation. Lord, how dangerous that is. Help us to work while there's light to work. And we'll thank you for all that you do, because we realize that you're the one that does it. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, we're not going to read all these verses again, but what we really want to focus on today is the last part of verse number 22 and verse number 23. And the Bible said in the very last sentence in verse number 22, it said, and these are ancient things.
I never noticed that before. I've read this several times now, but it said, "And these are ancient things." And the "these" that it is talking about are these children of the family of Judah. "These are ancient things. These were the potters and those that dwell among plants and hedges. There they dwell with the king for his work." Now, anybody that's ever read their Bible through, or maybe started to read their Bible through and didn't make it all the way through, you've probably noticed that when you come to the book of 1 Chronicles, the first 9 chapters in the book of 1 Chronicles are what I would call difficult. It's a difficult stretch of Scripture. And the reason that I say that it's difficult, not that it's hard to understand, but if you notice as I was trying to read these verses this morning, these names and the first 9 chapters in the book of 1 Chronicles is basically, it's a genealogy. So it's name after name after name after name. And a lot of these names are hard to pronounce, hard to read. A lot of them you've never heard of. Some of them I don't know anything at all about. Several in the verses that we read this morning. And so that's why I say that it's a difficult stretch of Scripture, because it's a list of genealogy. All the families of the tribes of Israel, all these names. It's sort of like driving through Kansas. If you've ever ridden through Kansas, it's sort of monotonous. And we've driven through Kansas a few times. And we'd always kid as we went along through there, because the scenery doesn't change very much. And we'd say, "Oh, look, there's another fence post." Because that's about all you see as you go through Kansas, is fences and fences. And it just sort of the same. And if you don't understand what's going on and you don't understand these names and you're trying to read through 1 Chronicles, first 9 chapters, it's sort of just, you know, we'll come to something else eventually. But there are some highlights even in Kansas. I know one time we were going across through there and we was real tempted to stop and see the world's largest ball of twine. But we were in a hurry and we didn't do that, but it's there. And you know, if you wanted to stop and see that, you could. I've seen pictures of it. It's huge. But other than that, there's just not a whole lot in there. I'm sure there is if you live there. And I'm sure there's other things, but I'm talking about just driving down the interstate. Well, we're going down the interstate of the book of 1 Chronicles, first 9 chapters. And there's some highlights along the way. And here is a highlight. Here's something that is sort of out of the ordinary. A little bit extra is thrown in among all these lists of all these names, of all these families that we come to. And the highlight that I'm talking about is the children of Shelah, the son of Judah. There in verse number 21, Judah means praise. The Lord Jesus is out of the tribe of Judah. And so when we think about Judah, that's what I think of. I think about the tribe or the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we have a highlight. At first glance, it might not seem like very much, but it says about the family of Shelah in verse number 23, it says, "These were the potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work." And so what we see here, it doesn't seem like very much. It's potters and gardeners is what we find. Potters and gardeners. And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. These were the potters and those that dwelt among plants. It's just what we would call servile work. It's just manual, basic, hard labor is what we find here in these verses, these people that it's talking about. The potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. We find this is probably two of the world's oldest occupations. Somebody that would be involved in pottery and somebody that would work in plants and hedges. In fact, if you studied out, the oldest occupation in the world is to be a gardener, because that's what Adam was. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 15, it said, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Adam was a gardener. God put him in the garden to dress it and to keep it. It means to maintain it, to take care of it. And what I want to try to do with the message today, or what we might say the aim of the message is to encourage us today in the little things that we have to attend to in life. Sometimes we don't appreciate the little things. Sometimes people just call it the daily grind. Do you ever feel like that? Well, just the same old saying. Just get up, go to work, come home, eat, work around the house, go to bed, get up, do it all over again. There's a whole lot of that in our lives. In fact, there's more of that than there are what we might say, oh, this is the real, you know, important things of life. But if we'll study and think about it, the little things are really what make up our life. And the little things, the things that maybe sometimes we don't think very much about, are very important things. Now, these people that we study about here, these sons of Shelah, they're not CEOs of companies. They're not great military generals or warriors. Now, in 1 Chronicles, these first 9 chapters, there's a lot of warriors that are mentioned. There's a lot of, in fact, I've preached before about David's mighty men. Come over into chapter 10, chapter number 11. Well, that's not these men. They're not generals. They're not warriors. They're not Navy SEALs or something like that. They're not bank presidents. They're not chief of staff or anything like that. What do we find about these in the Bible? They're just potters and gardeners, working in the two oldest occupations in the whole wide world. But it says something very interesting about these people. And that's what we want to look at today and think about. What does it mean? Potters and gardeners. What kind of work is that? Well, number one, it's a primitive work. Now, if you look in verse number 22, and this is the only place you find this phrase in the Bible, "and these are ancient things." Well, we're talking about potters and gardeners. Ancient means old. That this is stuff that's been around since as old as man. It has been upon the earth. Now, I've already mentioned that Adam, that God put Adam in a garden to dress it and to keep it. But I'm sure it didn't take Adam very long to get tired of cupping his hands to get a drink of water. You know, that'd get old pretty quick. I'd get tired of that. Surely it didn't take Adam very long to figure out how to make a cup, make a plate, make a bowl, something like that, out of clay. You say, well, preacher, how did he learn how to do that? Well, he talked with the Lord every day. And the Lord made him out of the dust of the ground. And maybe the Lord said, well, I made you out of the ground. Surely you can make a cup. Here's how you do it. Get a little clay and form it out, make a cup out of it, and Adam, you'll be good to go. Let it dry in the sun. It didn't take these people long to learn how to do all these very primitive, necessary things of life. And so we think about these potters, these gardeners, these basic occupations. They are so old that we've forgotten that they once upon a time had a beginning to them. Somebody had to bring in the first harvest. Somebody had to make the first cup, the first bowl, things like that. And the other day, and I'm not going to get all into this, but you know I grow popcorn every year for Kim. She loves popcorn. And really, you don't get it that year. You have to wait till the next year till it's dried. And so it's time, and we got last year's popcorn, and shell it all out, and it makes a big mess in the yard. And what I did, I just piled all that up and set it on fire, and I knew what happened. There'd be some popcorn in all those husks, and it wasn't long. Here, it looked like it snowed a little bit around there, and I picked it up, and I took it to Chloe. I said, take that to your mama. That's the first fruits. But I wonder, how did they... who come up with, how did they know popcorn and pop? Probably by accident, I don't know, but it'll do it. Sure as the world, these are old things. These are ancient things we're talking about. Pottery, gardening, harvesting, all like that. All of these things have a beginning to them, just like other ancient things. And there are so many comparisons to this and being a parent, raising children, being a pastor, working in a church, teaching a Sunday school class. We're getting ready for vacation Bible school. The Lord's work. This is comparable. I want us to think about this morning. The Lord's work. Do you know all the Lord's work is? Is people work. And do you know that the hardest work is people work? Because people work is spiritual work. I'll never forget Preacher Jimmy Rose, and he may have preached that message right here. But he compared the Lord's work. In fact, he was preaching about the Lord and the disciples, and he said, you know, if you go out and cut down a tree, and you cut it up, and you stack it up, and you say, boy, I have done that today. That's what I done. That was my day's work. He said, you can at least see what you've done. You see the fruit of your labor. But he said, in spiritual work, in the Lord's work, in working with people, you may not have anything to show for it. And there's a whole lot of it that you don't have any control over. You can cut down a tree and cut it up and sort of get your what you intended to do there, but in working with people, it's all over the place. Because you got to depend on them to do their part, and they have to have faith, and they have to come to around to see their relationship with the Lord. And you can work, and you can preach, and you can pray, and we can bring up our children, and sometimes we say, boy, I don't know if I'm doing any good or not. And you know, that's went on since the very beginning of time. It's a primitive thing. It's something the potters worked and the gardeners worked, and they work with the raw material of the earth. The potter and the gardener both get their material out of the earth. The potter uses clay and the gardener uses dirt. And we work with people which are made out of dirt. Boy, that'll boost your self-confidence, won't it? We're all just dirt balls. Move around. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's what we're made out of. God works upon us in the Bible over and over again. People are compared to vessels. Lots of places. Jeremiah chapter number 18, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah and he said, go down to the potter's house. I got a word for you there. Jeremiah went down to the potter's house as he wrought a work upon the wheel, and God compared what the potter was doing with his pottery there to people. The Bible talks about in the New Testament that we are either vessels. Now, a vessel is something that a potter has made. We are either in this life vessels unto honor or dishonor. We're compared to vessels. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7, it's talking about over there being saved by the grace of God and having the life of Christ in us. And it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So when I said we're all just dirt balls, I wasn't being mean. We are earthen vessels. God made us. God created us. We are like a vessel. And the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53 and verse number 2, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. The Lord Jesus, in growing up as a little boy, is compared to a tender plant. These little babies, these little children, these young children, all of us are like plants. Jesus said in John chapter number 15, He said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Over and over and over again in the Bible, we are compared to a harvest. We are compared to a vine. And so these potters and these gardeners, these that dwelt among plants and hedges, they had an important job. They had a very primitive job. If we really stop to think about it this morning, the Lord's work that we have before us as parents, as a church, Vacation Bible School, the work with the college students, all of this stuff, man, it's really important. A lot of times we get to thinking about what we think is important. It's not really that important. And what we think is not important is the most important. Because while this stuff has been around for so long, it's a primitive work. Number two this morning, it is a perennial work. Now, perennial is a word that's used with flowers and gardens and botany, things like that. And it's used to describe flowers that bloom for more, or that'll come back for more than 2 years. But the word perennial, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means this. It means continual without ceasing. You know, there's a lot of things in life that you can work on and you can say, well, we started, we finished, it's done. It may take a long time. When we lived in London, or when we lived in England, we'd visit in London. And about every time we go to London, we would go to St. Paul's Cathedral. It's huge. It's worth going to see. And in St. Paul's Cathedral, if you study about it, it was started in the 1600s. It took 40 years to complete. Can you imagine working on one project for 40 years? Took them a long time to do everything back then. The Empire State Building was built in a year and 45 days. And it was done. But I'm 47 years old and the Lord's still working on me. You see, you and I, as long as we live, we are a perennial project. All of the Lord's work is a perennial work, which means this. You think maybe as a parent, you say, well, this will get easier as it goes along. But I don't think it does. I think it gets harder as you go along. I think the easy years are those first years, and I know you think, well, that's the hardest years, but I'll tell you, as they get older, that's where you really start to worry. You really have concern. You really look back and you say, boy, if I'd have done this different, or if I'd have done that different. And it's the same thing in pastoring. And Preacher Carl, he told me several times. He'd say, I thought as I got to be an older preacher that it would get easier. He said, but it's not. He said, it's getting harder. He'd say, you know, you think you get to be older that you'd have less problems. He said, I don't have less problems now. I have more problems now. And here's the thing. It's just the same problems, different people. Same things crop up over and over and over again. And the Lord's work and spiritual work, it is a perennial work. There is, you got to do the same things over and over and over again. Just like if you were a potter. You'd think, well, after a while you get tired of making plates and cups and bowls. But that's what they do over and over and over again. And just like a gardener, same thing every year. We put the garden out last week. It's been a lot of work went on this week. Didn't really do anything different than we always do. In fact, it's a little bit harder because of all the rain. And the weeds got back in there. And boy, you start out having to weed the garden before you can plant anything. That's sort of disheartening. That's how work is sometimes. And so it's a perennial work. It is a work that goes on and on and on. And the Bible said in Proverbs 22 and 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Do you know, we never get away from that. I was thinking this past week about how I'm still learning lessons from my grandparents, aunts and uncles, and Aunt Merle come up this week and helped in the garden, and praise the Lord, she did. I told them, I said, we're going to name this year the year that Merle and Kim saved the garden. Because if I'd had to get out there by myself and do all that, it's just really hard to look at. Well, they came up and helped me, and I was talking with her, and you know, we get together all, and Aunt Merle to me is like a second mom. I mean, we was around them growing up and stayed down there, and they stayed, and we went on vacations together, and so we was reminiscing about old times. And she was talking about something. We got to talking about something, and it dawned on me. I said, I just realized something. I said, I got that from you, being around you. See, we never stop training up. We never get to a place in our lives where we can just put it on cruise control and never have to worry about, no sir, what the Lord's work is a continual work. Somebody is always watching. Somebody is always learning. There's something else always needs to be done, just like a potter, just like a gardener. It's a perennial work. Number three, it's a pastoral work. And what I mean by that, not necessarily being a pastor, but it, as in watching over. It's what a pastor does. It's what a pastor means, a shepherd. A shepherd looking over his sheep. Or any other occupation where you have to look over something, the potter is very involved in his work from the very beginning. He's got to watch over the whole process. He's got to find it, find what he wants, find what he has in his mind, choose out his clay. He's got to fashion it into what he has in his mind. He has to dry it. He has to fire it. He is involved in every process along the way. He's got to watch over that. Gardeners the same way. Some things are easier to grow than other things. But if somebody ever tells you, oh, you just plant that in the ground and you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to do anything else, they're probably giving you poison oak. If it's worth anything, you've got to take care of it. You've got to watch out. Why don't bugs eat poison oak and bad things? Why, they just want to eat your tomatoes and your potatoes, and you know, you never have to fight with the critters over mullein or briars or anything else. But if you've got anything worth anything, you've got to watch over it, guard over it. You've got to spray it, plant it, protect it, hoe around it, everything. You can't just put these children out here and, oh, they'll be all right. No, they won't. It's a pastoral work. You just can't have church and say, oh, well, we won't worry about doctrine. We won't worry about no standards. We won't worry about no membership. We won't worry about any of this stuff. We'll just come and get together and Well, it's got to be looked after. We're talking about the Lord's work, spiritual work. It's pastoral work. And in all this work that we're involved in, and there's a lot of work coming up. And I realize that I'm trying to encourage us as a church. You know, the biggest thing we do throughout the year, Vacation Bible School. Some have been working on this since February. Some even before that, just to get us up to the first meeting in February. And it takes a lot of hands-on. And so we look at all these things that there is to do. Just like a potter, their bowl might crack. Just like a gardener, their tomatoes might blight. The critters might get in their beans and eat all the tops off of them. And what I'm saying, in all of our work and in all of our labor, there is a potential for failure. But we don't like to think about that, do we? Sometimes children rebel. Sometimes in church people get mad and run off. Sometimes people cause problems. I mean, in the Lord's work and work with people, there's all kinds of potential for failure along the way. And sometimes you just want to pull your hair out and throw your hands up and quit and say, well, what's the use? But you know what? That's not an option. If you read over in Jeremiah chapter number 18, when the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, something happened with what he originally had in mind. And you know what he did? Here's what a potter does. He's spinning, he's working, he's bringing up the sides, and all of a sudden it wobbles, it cracks, it falls over. You know what he does? He goes, squash. He starts over. He might say, that's not going to work for what I originally wanted. I'll make something else out of it. And you and I better thank the Lord today. He didn't just scrape it off, throw it on the trash pile. You know what the gardener does? He starts over. You may have to plow up a row. You may have to till up a row. You may have to start with something else. You may, here's what I'm saying this morning. We don't stop doing the good things that we know that we ought to be doing. You know, we might threaten that we're going to trade our children in, but there's nowhere to do that. When we were little, well, when Kim and I got married, we were little. That's why we're so young, but we'll be married 30 years this year. But we went to the zoo one time over at Knoxville, and Noah was just little. I guess Abigail was born, I can't remember, but I kept telling Noah, I said, I'm going to leave you with the monkeys. I'm going to leave you with the monkeys today. And I'd went on with him all day about that. I'm going to leave you with the monkeys. And finally he said, Dad, you're not going to leave me with the monkeys. I'm your son. He was right. We brought him back home. But you know, it might be tempting. It might be trying sometimes. Boy, I'd like to trade them little runts in. I mean, they're about to drive me crazy. Wait till they get older. You can't trade them in. You can't turn them in. You can't turn them out. You got to do something with them. You might try one thing. That won't work. You got to try something else. Like I'm telling you today, that's the Lord's work. Raising children. Working in the church. The Lord's work. Vacation Bible school. It seems to get, you know, when all of us were younger, didn't things seem simpler? Now, and I think that just goes with getting older, everything seems harder and more aggravating. But it's still got to be done. And it's probably not harder and more aggravating. You and I are just a whole lot older than we used to be, which makes everything harder and more aggravating. And you young people, you just jump right in there and give your very best while you're young, and one day you'll get old and it'll be old and aggravating and you'll want to pass it along. But it's got to be done. It's a pastoral work. Here's a great thing. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Can't faint. Can't faint. You can't stop along the way. We shall reap in due season if we faint not. It is a pastoral work that all of us that are God's people are involved in. There are so many things that have to be watched over and over and over again. We've got to keep going on and going on. Thank God for those before us that stuck in there, passed the torch on. Now it's our turn. We got to pass it on to somebody else. It's a pastoral work. It goes on and on. The last thing I want to show you today, or next to last thing, it's a professional work. In verse number 23, it said there, these were the potters and those that dwell among plants and hedges. Boy, look at them there, those poor potters down there digging in the clay, those gardeners working in the dirt. They're dirty, they're filthy, they're sweaty, they're all bent over. Sweat dripping down on what they're trying to do in their eyes. Bugs biting them, all that kind of stuff. Poor people. You know what? Them people, they're professional people. If you don't think they're professional people, you just go out by the creek this afternoon, get some clay, bring it back to the house, and make a plate and a bowl and a cup that you can use. And you'll find out real quick, you don't know what you're doing. If you're going to do something like that, you've got to know what you're doing. And I'm telling you, the Lord's work is not just something that doesn't matter. We need to know what we're doing in the Lord's work. Can you go out and take a bare piece of ground and turn it into something that you can get food out of and put provisions up for the winter time and to know how to grow and harvest and can and freeze and all of that stuff? You got to know what you're doing. But a lot of times people, they treat the Lord's work like it does not matter. But I'm telling you, the Lord's work matters. The Bible tells us this about children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. God gave you them youngins. You better take care of what He gave you. When it says they are the heritage of the Lord, that means they're His. He just lets you and I take care of them. Be stewards over them. This work that we think about today, the Lord's work, and think about pastoring. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. The Bible says over there that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Preacher Tull was preaching yesterday. He said there are 16 qualifications given after that. Do you know the President of the United States couldn't pastor a church? He's not qualified. And in fact, several, you'd have to go back a long ways to find a president that'd be qualified to pastor a church. The Bible says about a pastor, not a novice. That means one newly planted. That means somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. Preacher Tull preached on that a little while this morning. I thought, my goodness, I started pastoring about 20 years too soon. It's serious business. It's serious business. We need some people that knows what they're doing. Raising children, you say, Preacher, I don't know what I'm doing. Read the book of Proverbs. That'll help you out a whole lot. There's all kinds of resources. Pick out the good things your parents done. Incorporate that into what you're trying to do. Being a husband, being a wife, I'm having all kinds of problems. Get some help. There's a lot to learn. Being a Sunday school teacher, there's no excuse not to know. Not to know. You ought to know more about that than anybody in your class when you stand up before the class. Study. I would have to study more to teach children than I probably would to preach to adults. takes a lot of thought and effort to get it down where everybody can get something out of it. Condense it into 15 or 20 minutes. We need to know what we're doing. This is the Lord's work. Well, it's a professional work. Last of all, this morning, it's a pleasing work. Now, here's what I really did. Here's what I really wanted to get down to. Look what the Bible says in verse 23. These were the potters and those that dwelt among plants and hedges. There they dwelt with the king for his work. You know the interesting thing about this work that we're talking about? It's associated with the king. It's associated with the king and his work. It was his work and they dwelt with him. Because it was his work. The work we're doing, a lot of people, they would look and they would say, that's not important. What I'm doing out here in the world, that's what's really important. No, they've got it backwards. A lot of what's going on in the world is actually just going to be burned up one of these days. But the work we're called to do, it's the king's work. And you know, the king, yes, the king, he needs some generals and he needs some warriors and he needs some chief of staff and ambassadors and all of those things. But you know what? The Lord, in his work, he needs some potters and some gardeners. And they get to dwell with him. They get to be with him because that's his work. The work that the Lord has called each of us to do, that's the Lord's work. Say, oh, preacher, I don't feel very close to the Lord. Are you involved in his work? His work is people work. His work is a spiritual work. His work is a work that takes nothing and makes something out of it. Do you know that's all a potter does? All a potter does is takes what nobody wants. It's an old lump of clay. And he makes something out of it that everybody wants. You know a gardener, that's all he does. Takes a piece of ground. A lot of people don't see any potential in that whatsoever. The gardener takes that and makes something out of it that everybody wants. When I went over to Rome Mountain yesterday, I was noticing how many produce stands. Oh, people there stopping and buying cantaloupe and tomatoes and a few weeks ago strawberries and peaches and all that good stuff. That's just a gardener somewhere that took something nobody else wanted and made something out of it. That's what the Lord's work is. See, all of us without Christ, we're nothing. But you add the touch of the master potter, you add the touch of the master gardener, and you've got something really worth something. That's the Lord's work. I love that. I'd never noticed that before. I've at least read this over 25 times, I think, I've read through the Bible. I've never noticed that there they dwelt with the king for his work. You may think today what you're doing is not important. I'm telling you, that little Sunday school class is important. Raising them little children for the Lord, that's important. What we're doing, it's the king's work. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You say, oh,